welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. I'm glad you were able to join me. Well, we have been looking at a very fascinating account in the book of 1 Kings, and we're looking at a time in Israel's history where she was suffering the results of disobedience. It began with Solomon. As much as he was wisest of all the kings of the earth, so that the Lord himself said there would be none like him before or after, he turned against the Lord. The Lord was angry with him because he began to worship the gods of his foreign wives. As a result, it wasn't in his lifetime, but in the lifetime of his son, Rehoboam, there was dissent, and basically the 10 tribes just said, you know, bye, we're going. And they refused to submit themselves to Solomon because Rehoboam had taken the advice of the younger rather than the older, wiser counselors. So what we see, Jeroboam, who wanted to secure the power and the kingship, the authority that he had a tremendous opportunity. If he would have served God, God promised through the voice of the prophet that he would establish his line after him. He would be like David as far as having a kingly line. But he was not a man after God's heart like David was, unfortunately. And as a result, he caused, in fact, there's so many references, whenever you hear the name Jeroboam, who made Israel to sin. He basically, to secure his position, he was afraid people, if they went to Jerusalem, would unite themselves with the king of Judah, who was Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. And so he erected golden calves in the north and the south, Bethel and Dan. He caused the lowest of the people to become priests against what God had commanded in Deuteronomy for the Levitical priesthood to handle priestly duties. He changed the date of the feast, and just arbitrarily, and basically caused Israel to go worshiping other gods. And as a result, God sent an unnamed prophet in the 13th chapter of 1 Kings. And what we found out so far, when he came there, it took a lot of courage to do that. He was by himself, and here was Jeroboam, the king, right next to the altar, burning incense, and he said that upon that altar, a child was going to be born who would burn man's bones upon that altar, who would desecrate it, and he gave the name Josiah. This was filled 300 years later, and men's bones were burned upon that altar. And as a sign that God was speaking, there was a dramatic supernatural sign when the king was going to say, probably speak to his guards and say, seize that man. He stretched out his hand and it withered, and he couldn't even pull it back to him. And also the altar was rent. And so there was a divine, supernatural intervention by the Lord showing that he was speaking in the name of God. God gave these signs to demonstrate the validity of the prophetic words given. The withering of the king's hand was basically, it was symbolic, because the hand is a symbol of power and authority. And so it symbolizes the failure of man's strength and policy when opposed to the law and judgment of God. Now, this sign that had been given to Jeroboam should have proved to be a very severe warning to him. God was wanting, even at that point, to draw Jeroboam back from his evil ways and from his presumptuous sins. And of course, he was also demonstrating his favor and divine protection upon his servant, the prophet. And one would expect that after such a dramatic experience, that your heart would be softened and you would be willing to repent. There was a suddenness of God's judgment. God, who made the body, can suspend the use of any of its members when he sees fit. And Jeroboam failed to worship God, so he was stricken with sudden paralysis. And thank God we live in an age of grace. Amen. God does not deal with us in supernatural judgment when we add, you know, our own inventions to his worship. But let's go back to the text now and read what happened after this dramatic event occurred. Verse 6, chapter 13. And the king answered and sent unto the man of God, "Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again." And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. So God, who caused the arm to wither, was of course able to restore it to its usual form and strength. And so in answer to the prophet's intercession, the king's arm was restored to what it was before, and it was a precious sign of divine mercy and grace that should have led him to repentance. However, we know that was not the case. Now, let's go on to read verses 7 through 10. And here we see the prophet, this unnamed prophet, was a man of self-denial. He was desiring to fulfill the will of the Lord. Verse 7 says, and this is response to his healing, and the king said unto the man of God, "Come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward." And the man of God said unto the king, "If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest." So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. So basically, he refused the king's reward and hospitality. And, you know, there's a similarity. Remember Elijah in 2 Kings 5:16. He said he would receive none of the king's hospitality. Why would he refuse? Well, because of obedience, obviously, to the Lord, the specific instructions he received. And then acceptance, when you think about if he had accepted, that would have done a disservice to his divine mission. It really would have discredited what he was doing in the name of the Lord. To accept hospitality and reward in the eyes of people would seem to condone something, and of course that's why God forbade that. So to reject the hospitality of the king was a very extreme action in the East. You know, in the days in which we live in Western culture, well, it would be just something they chose not to do. But this rejection symbolizes God's complete rejection of Jeroboam and Bethel. It was a various thing when hospitality was extended. And in fact, it was one of the norms that one should do. But so this man of God was rejecting, basically by refusing, the favor and honor of man. He was not a hireling in the Lord's service. He knew what it was to deny himself, to obey the Lord, take up his cross. I mean, sure, it would have been great to have a meal and accept a reward, but he would not do that. And so he was fasting, he was obedient to the Lord, and he set his face to return to Judah by another way than the one way in which he had come. You know, so far so good. He was doing exactly what the Lord had instructed him to do. Now let's go on and read verse 11 through 14. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, "What way went he?" For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, "Saddle me the ass." So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Here, now we don't have any explanation, but obviously there was a danger in his delay. He was sitting under a tree. He could have well been over the border to Judah if he had not tarried, but for whatever reason, he was sitting there. Now, in verses 15 through 18, let's read those. Then he said unto him, this is the old prophet speaking to the man of God, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And then, this is what the prophet said to him. He said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. I know this sounds unbelievable, but here he is. He's actually lying, deceiving the prophet, saying that which was not true. And so who is this old prophet? And why did he deceive the man of God? Well, the reason for this deceit is not clear from the scripture. He may have been a cult prophet connected with the Bethel shrine. He was old. And from that, we can deduce that he was familiar with the established worship of Judah. His sons were in the court now, remember, of Jeroboam. However, we see him that he was a prophet and he was used of God. Oh, I'm looking at my time and my time is coming to a quick close and I must bring this broadcast to a close. We will continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I hope you will be able to join me. This is just a fascinating story and there's some important lessons, sobering lessons for us all to learn. Thank you so much for listening. I invite you to write, share those prayer needs. The announcer will give contact information. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,